Thanks to you who come here to be with us on this Sunday afternoon in Spanish Fork, Utah. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback from those who are going to hear these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class to become members. Couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything's inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and charge of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Agnati Mananda Syang Ganagana Sadakya Chaksudur Miritam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupal Karamyam Dharati Sopanatikam. Start out with a joke, and I can tell this joke because I have a bit of scotch. What is it? Scotch in my background. And the Scotch are known for being, let's put it politely, thrifty with their money. So with that in mind, a Scottish lad and his lassie were sitting next to each other in the Scottish Highlands. They sat in silence for a while, just gazing over the glen. The lass turned to the lad and said, "A penny for your thoughts." The lad was taken aback, but then he answered, "I was just thinking how nice it'd be if you'd give me a wee bit of a kiss." The flattered lass kissed the lad. The lad slipped once more into a quiet, pensive mood. The lass once more asked, "What are you thinking now?" The lad answered, "I was just hoping that you hadn't forgotten the penny." Our topic today is the simple things of life. Life is not really about getting to a destination. We do have to set goals, aspirations, pursue our dreams, but it's very important that we enjoy the simple things and live well along the way. Life is a journey. There is no such thing as a finish line. In our spiritual tradition, we don't ask that people be perfect. We just try to keep the dust of our spiritual predecessors within our vision, to keep moving forward in their footsteps. And even after liberation, even after entering into the spiritual world, we're meant to keep learning, keep progressing, keep deepening in our bhakti, our devotion. Down here and now, let's not get so goal-oriented that we overlook the simple joys of life. After all, once we overcome one challenge, accomplish one goal, climb one mountain, guess what? As soon as you get to that mountaintop, within your vision comes another mountain peak. Our time spent, Hollywood style, on mountaintops will be relatively brief. The high times are few and far between. Graduation, weddings, marriage, the birth of your first child. Learn to enjoy the simple things of life. We're going to spend most of our life en route, doing the routine, so to speak, in the waiting rooms of life. In a book that Prabhupada wrote called The Way of Transcendence, he said, "Everybody is hankering after happiness because by nature we are happy. As spirit souls, we are naturally ananda buddhi vardhanam. We are naturally joyful by nature." A mistake a lot of people make is that they want to live on the mountaintops. They're so focused on promotion. They work day and night. They're stressed out about raising their children to the point that they don't even enjoy their children. They're so focused on solving daily problems. They don't enjoy the beautiful moments that come to us unbidden each and every day. Some people spend their whole lives chasing a goal, and when they achieve it, turned out not to be all that they had thought it would be. Deion Sanders, from a young child, 11, 12 years old, in the Pop Warner Football League, dreamed of going to a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl. It took him years and years and years of training and discipline and self-control. He finally reached his destination. He won the Super Bowl. He got a Super Bowl ring, and then he was famously quoted as saying, "Is this all there is to it?" If you're goal-driven, there are three outcomes, neither of which is happy. Either you don't get it, unhappy, frustrated, angry. Two, you get it and you lose it, frustrated, angry, unhappy. Three, you get it and it loses its appeal. It loses its luster, frustrated, unhappy. Slow down is our message today. Enjoy the gifts that surround us. We didn't create the Wasatch Mountains, the canyon trails, the breathtaking Utah sunrises and sunsets. We didn't create these amazing bodies that we inhabit. Nothing that we're surrounded by, even these bodies themselves, are our own creations. They're all gifts given by God or Krishna. And these gifts are given by Him open-handedly. Even as a society and as individuals, we don't particularly acknowledge or even thank God for these gifts. What to speak of, seek out first and foremost His direction for our lives. If all this is given so abundantly and open-handedly to God's disobedient sons, here's our meditation for today. What would be in store for those who revive their God consciousness, transform themselves into being the good sons of God, one with Him in purpose, aspiring to do His will here on earth? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can't just live for the Super Bowls of life. You can't just live for vacations. You can't just live for the weekends. Krishna is our companion, our boatman. When we appear before Him in the deity form, take darshan, can I tell you that's more momentous than getting 50-yard line seats at the Super Bowl? A mistake a lot of people, even in our own tradition, make is that they pop in, they fold their hands, they appear, they see the Lord, and then they run out to continue to tick things off their to-do list. We come to the temple not as much so that we can see the Lord, but that He sees us. Take your time. Don't just pop in and pop out. Appear before the Lord. Let Him glance over you, standing humbly and peacefully with folded hands. That glance has brought millions and millions of universes into existence. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when the pious Pandavas, with Krishna as their chariot driver, faced the evil-minded Duryodhana and their cousin brothers, it is said that before the battle even started, Krishna glanced over those who opposed His righteous devotees. By that very glance, He reduced the duration of the lives of the wrongdoers. Even before the battle had started, it was predetermined because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by glancing over them, had already determined that they were not going back home after that battle. And not only by His glance did He cut down the lifespan of the enemies, those who conspired against His devotees, not only did He pave the way for total victory of the Pandavas who are outnumbered and outmanned, but by glancing over the wrongdoers, He ensured that in spite of the fact that they didn't deserve it, they would get their own salvation. Not only did His glance do good to His good sons, but it even did good to His bad sons. Here's the actual quote. Prabhupada says, "The Lord diminished the duration of life of the opposite party by His merciful glance. All the fighters who assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained salvation by personally seeing the Lord or being seen by the Lord at the time of their death." Prabhupada continues, "Therefore, His diminishing the lifespan of Arjuna's enemies does not mean that He was partial to the cause of Arjuna. Factually, He was merciful to the opposite party because they would not have attained salvation by dying at home in the ordinary course of life. Here was a chance to see the Lord at the time of death and thus attain salvation from material life." So when you come to the temple, don't just pop in and pop out. Stand before the Lord Just think what that glance can do. Just think of that all-powerful glance which can bless and favor your life and the lives of those for whom you have care and concern. When the monkeys and the army of Brahma were stuck on the shores of Rameshwaram with the task of crossing 800 miles of ocean to get to Sri Lanka, what did Ram have to do but glance at the Indian Ocean? And the Indian Ocean appeared before him with folded hands and said, "Yeah, throw rocks and I'll make sure they float. You build your bridge with my blessings." So enjoy the simple things of life, simply appearing before the Lord and receiving his merciful, all-powerful glance. Prabhupada said, "The Lord is all good, and whatever he does is for everyone's good." Apparently, his glancing was for the victory of Arjuna, his intimate friend, but factually, it was also for the good of Arjuna's enemies. Prabhupada says, "Such are the transcendental activities of the Lord, and whoever understands this gets salvation after quitting this current material body. The Lord does no wrong in any circumstances because he has absolute all good at all times. Therefore, learn to enjoy the simple things. Getting up early, chanting your rounds with attention, going on a walk with your spouse, sitting down to a meal and honoring prasadam with the devotees, decorating the altar, arranging the flowers, making garlands, growing vegetables in the garden for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." A lot of people think, well, if I can just get to the next level, then I'll slow down and enjoy my life. No, our message is slow down right now. Right now, take time for the people that Krishna has put in your life. They will not always be here. The most common regret of successful people is that they didn't take time for their loved ones. I heard a story. One man was invited to a special reception at the White House, and he accepted the invitation for a certain day. But then, in the meantime, his son's basketball team qualified for the state semifinals. What do you do? White House, son's basketball game. Son's basketball game, the White House. President of the United States, my son going to the state championships. You know what he decided? He decided to go to the game instead. And guess what? His son's team won by 1 point. And guess what? His son made the winning basket. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 30th verse, 3rd chapter, 11th canto, one should learn how to associate with devotees of the Lord by gathering with them, to chant the glories of the Lord and take prasadam. The process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. Every day, tell your wife, your children, your fellow devotees, those who mean the most to you, how glad you are that they are in your life. Learn how to appreciate them. I heard about a preacher. He gave 3 sermons every weekend at his church, one of those mega churches. His wife attended every one of those 3 sermons, every week after week, year after year. And after each and every message, not just at the end of the weekend, after the 3 sermons, but after each sermon, she'd come up to him and tell him how good it was. One week, she came up to him and she said it was fantastic. And the next week, when she went back to good, he had to admit he was a little disappointed. One week, they traveled out of town for a special revival. They started preaching midweek. They came back for the home service. Altogether, she sat through 8 sermons, the same sermon 8 times, and she still laughed at each and every joke as if she'd heard it for the first time. He knew she was sick of it, but she was still sitting, listening intently, laughing at all the right places. The preacher knew she was faking it, but she was doing it to encourage him, to make her husband feel good. Now, can I tell you? And if you have someone like that in your life, you are blessed, you are favored, and I hope that you show your appreciation for their support. Speaking of support, think of all the nice names by which Krishna calls Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Dhananjaya, mighty armed, winner of wealth, foremost archer, subduer of the enemy, son of a noble mother, scion of the race of Bharat. What is Krishna doing? Pouring throughout the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, pouring into his friend Arjuna faith, pouring into him confidence, pouring into him appreciation. Imagine if we called our husband or wife what we thought they could be rather than what they are at present. Every one of us is in a state of becoming. So what we call each other can very well determine the direction of our future lives. And author Bruce Wilkerson, initially after college, he got a teaching job in a small New England prep school. In the beginning of the semester, when the course assignments were handing out, he was teaching five sections. One of his friends just looked over his shoulder and said, "Bruce, you lucky duck." "Why?" "Out of your five sections, three sections are Section A students." "What does that mean?" "They're especially gifted." He began to teach the semester with the predetermination that the kids in these three classes were especially gifted. Sure enough, at the end of the semester, the term papers they turned in were thicker, they were more well-researched, they were better done than that of the other two. Next semester, they were all, in the beginning, in the dean's office, waiting to receive their assignments. Bruce said to the dean, "I hope I get some Section A students again this year." The dean said, "Bruce, what are you talking about?" "Section A, the gifted students. I had three of them last year." The dean said, "Bruce, we don't have any Section A students. We used to about 6 or 7 years, but we discontinued it." Well, what happened? Those students rose to the level of his expectation because he approached them with the prior expectation that they were Section A students. They performed up to the level of his expectation. Would you agree with me that none of us would be where we are in life without those who sacrificed for us, those who poured into us, those who believed in us? Maybe they weren't perfect, maybe they made mistakes, but Krishna did not make a mistake in bringing them into our lives. They're there for a purpose. A word to the men who would like their wives to treat them like kings. First, you have to treat her like a queen. In a letter to Vrindavan Chandra, Prabhupada wrote, "If the wife is helpful in spiritual progress, she is the best friend and philosopher. In Krishna consciousness, the wife is never a burden, but she is completely a partner and counterpart." And would you agree with me that most people today, while they're making a living, they're not making a life, working all the time, living stressed out, full of tension, bringing that tension home, too busy to enjoy what Krishna has given them. When you come to the end of your life, there'll still be work at the office. There'll still be mail in the in tray. Your work will never be finished. If you do not make your family, the devotees, a priority to spend time with, to invest in, you're just simply going to be missing out on what matters most. In the final days of your life on earth, your job is not going to keep you company. Don't misunderstand me. It's good to work hard, to be focused, even driven, but it's also good to know when to put the work aside, walk away, knowing that it's still going to be there tomorrow. Work hard, but also play hard. If you don't make this decision, those whom you love are just only going to get your leftover time and energy. Can I tell you, they deserve better. There may be some opportunities in your career that you may even want to decline because you don't want your life to go by in a blur. You don't want to be too busy that you can't chant your rounds. Go for a walk. Hear the birds singing. Honor prasadam. in the company of devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Story about Frank Lloyd Wright, the famous architect. I come from a little town in Pennsylvania. It's called Stallstown. There's about 100 people at most. We're 10 miles away from a place called Falling Waters. That's where Frank Lloyd Wright built the most famous of his homes. One day, as a small child, he was walking through a field with his uncle Frank. Frank Lloyd Wright zipped here and zipped there. He looked at the pond. He looked at a bunch of weeds. He chased a rabbit. He stopped at a barn. He checked out an old fort. And he arrived finally to join his uncle on the other side of the field. And Uncle Frank shook his finger at young Frank Lloyd Wright. And he said, "Young Frank, I want you to note something. I want you to note how much faster I arrived than you. Let this be a life lesson for you." Later on, Frank wrote that that was in fact one of the best lessons he ever learned, but in exactly the opposite sense of what his uncle had intended. He still arrived at the same place, but he enjoyed all the sights along the way. Do you agree with me that there should be a balance between working hard, being focused, accomplishing dreams, and taking time to smell the roses? We should be, especially as devotees, fun to be around. So considering if this applies to you, in changing your approach, slowing down, and enjoying the journey more, take time to appreciate all that Krishna has given us. You'll still arrive, but the difference is that your life will be so much more fulfilled. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, managed a worldwide movement, 108 temples on every continent. He counseled 5,000 disciples, gave 3,000 lectures, circled the globe 13 times, and yet he always enjoyed the moment. He never took anyone or anything for granted. What to speak of when his movement was successful? Even after he'd originally arrived in 1965, with no money, no friends, no contacts, he had a letter of introduction to a couple in Buffalo, Pennsylvania, Gopal and Sally Agarwal. And he went there just for a place to stay after arriving in America. He spent about 6 weeks with them. He had no mission, he had no success, he had nothing going for him. And yet, Sally Agarwal said that while Prabhupada was staying with them under those most humble of circumstances, she said he was normally very, very serious, almost foreboding, very grave. But when he would smile, his smile was oceanic. This is Prabhupada personifying the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Subha ashubha phala enam moksha se karma bandhanam. Do not be detached to success or failure, so-called auspicious and unauspicious. Do not be molded or affected by your circumstances. Sanyasyo yoga yukritma. Be always connected to this all-powerful Supreme Personality of God. Vimukta mama pashasi. And thus, taking shelter in the Lord, be free and joyful and happy and contented in all circumstances. Krishna says, in this way you'll be freed from bondage to work, its auspicious and inauspicious works. With your mind fixed on me, in this principle of devotion, you will be liberated in this life and come to me in the next. When was the last time you distinctly chanted each word of the Hare Krishna mantra during japa? Shared a humorous story? Jumped up and down during kirtan? Said thank you to your co-workers or your boss or your wife? Turned off the TV to go out and look at the stars? Took a photograph of a single flower? Or are you all business, wanting to do, accomplish? Your loved ones may not always be around. Make memories together. Go for walks. Sit together at the end of the day. It may not be strictly kosher according to our Indian culture, but I want to tell you that when my brother and I were growing up as young toddlers, my father would make a point out of chastely embracing my mother in front of us, and we would look at each other and roll our eyes and all. But when I think back on it, he was setting an example not to take others for granted, to show even publicly our appreciation for them. Don't be so busy accomplishing things that you never get to enjoy each other. There's a famous story from the Srimad Bhagavatam about Bali Maharaj. He conquered the entire worlds, upper, middle, and lower worlds. He happened to have been the lord of the demons, but he himself was a devotee. So in order to take away everything that Bali had conquered and restore it to the demigods, who are servants of the Lord appeared as Vamanadeva, a little dwarf, and asked for 3 steps of land. Bali wanted to actually give the land back, but he couldn't do it in front of all the demons because they would mutiny and cut him down. So he's actually looking for a way to restore the universal order with the demigods on top and the demons, his followers, on the bottom. So when the Lord appeared in this effulgent form as a dwarf brahmana, Bali was astute enough to know what was up. He knew that he would be obliged to give away all of the property, and that's exactly what he wanted to do. So when Vamana asked for 3 steps of land, Bali immediately agreed. Avatar Vishnu started growing and growing and growing. And with his first step, he pushed down the whole earth planet. He claimed the entire earth. With his second step, he spanned the entire course of the universe, all the heavenly planets, and his foot actually broke through the outer layer of the universe through which the Ganges water flowed. Then Vishnu turned to Bali Maharaj. He said, with only 2 steps, I've taken possession of everything that there is. What am I going to do with my 3rd step? If you don't give me a place for my 3rd step, then you're going to be a liar. Bali said, Yadi Utamashoga Baban Mamericham Bacho Balikam Suryavari Mandate Karomari Tam Tade Badanam Param Tutum Krishnesham Minaham. If you think I'm telling the truth, then please put your 3rd step on my head. You just claim me as your bought and sold servant. His calculation was, the person is always more important than the things. And isn't that the problem in our society? We're supposed to love people and use things. But instead, we love things and we use people. Bali Maharaj was teaching by his example that the person is always more valuable, more precious than any amount of possessions that you could possibly accumulate in your lifetime. People talk about the good old days. Can I tell you, you're living right now in the good old days. Tomorrow, today, will be the good old days. So don't take today for granted. People need what you have. They need your smile. They need your encouragement. They need your wisdom. They need to know that you care about them. Don't, for instance, just be in the house, at work. Rather, be involved. Be engaged with the people around you. Someone said, it's not the time we spend together. Rather, that matters are the memories that we ignite together. Finishing up, I'll always have a special connection to the devotees in Australia. We joined Krishna Consciousness in 1970 in Australia. We spent 5 years in Australia, and that was when everything was beginning. We had nothing. We used to travel the country in vans and sell books. I had one devotee with whom I worked a lot. His name was Pratapana. He had been a lawyer, gave it up in order to join Krishna Consciousness. And the two of us, on one occasion, we spent 6 weeks on the Gold Coast, living out of a van, sleeping on the beach, taking showers on the beach, going to the health food store and buying ingredients for dinner every night, and spending the day distributing Krishna books, creating a fire at night, cooking some halva, reading Krishna book, falling asleep. I remember one morning we were having Mangal Arati at 3 a.m. down on the beach at the bottom of these cliffs. From up above at the top of the cliffs, there was a nightclub. And there were these people drunk and intoxicated, having partied all night. They were just stumbling out of the discotheque at 3 a.m. And I could only wonder what they must have been thinking when the sound of 2 Hare Krishnas chanting, Samsara dapa nalalida loka chanaya karuna ganaganadvam, wafted up to them. Doing service with those devotees was the greatest, most precious, valuable experience of my life. And those devotees are precious and valuable to me, even to this day, more than 50 years later. 2012, they paid my ticket so I could go back for the 40th commemoration of the installation of the Sydney deities. When I and Pratapana saw each other after 40 years, it was like we never left each other. It was an instant friendship. That special friendship is created by serving together in the cause of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you believe it that many of us live in a house full of people nowadays? And without that connection to the Lord, without that service opportunity, we can still, even amongst people, even in a crowd, even in a crowded apartment building, be very, very lonely. Everybody is busy, but they're all doing their own things. Nobody is stepping up to say, hey, we're a family. Hey, we're in this together. Hey, let's take time to enjoy each other's company, to have a meal together, to catch up. Arjuna underlined this point. Krishna wanted him to fight his relatives, his friends. They were all co-conspirators. Arjuna's original hesitancy based on the fact that without friends and relatives and well-wishers, all the wealth cannot make us happy. Things cannot make us happy. Arjuna says, Guru nahatpa hi mahanubhavam sreyam boksham apiha loke haibhatma kamams tu guruni haiva bunjira rudhan murjidir pagiran. Krishna, it is better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of the great souls who are my teachers. Even though they are avaricious, they are nonetheless superiors. If they are killed, how can we enjoy spoils tainted with blood? And then the next verse, Nahi prapashi mamapanudya jokshokam uchoshim indiram abhyapabhu momushapatanam rajam suranam adicharapatnam. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to destroy it, even if I win an unrivaled kingdom on the earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. What good is any of it without your friends, your relatives, and those whom you care about? So our encouragement this afternoon is maintain the proper perspective, slow down, enjoy the simple things in life. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just look at Krishna himself, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He created, maintains, and destroys millions of worlds. What's he doing? He took his friends out for a picnic lunch every day. They played games. They imitated the racing of the peacocks. Now we can take our cue from the Lord himself. Take more walks, look at the stars, pet the cows, think more about Krishna's goodness. Wake up every morning deciding to savor the day. Someone said, it's not that life is so short, but it is that we wait so long to begin. Encouragement is to begin to live your life today. We're not here forever. It is good to work hard, but stay in balance. Play hard too. If you make a decision to slow down, appreciate the devotees, enjoy the journey, you'll experience the fullness of what Krishna has in store to you. And when you come to the end of your life, you'll have no regrets. You'll be able to say, I made the most of my time here. I enjoyed those whom Krishna put into my life. I supported and loved them. And in helping them to become all that God intended them to be, I became all that I was intended to be. I enjoyed my journey in this life and prepared myself and my loved ones to go back home, back to Godhead in the next. Thank you for your kind attention. If you receive the message, please join me in chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.